Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. Had a little bit of frost on Monday just to remind us, you know, where we live. But otherwise, it was warm. It was up in the 60s. People had their windows open. You could walk down Elm Street and you could smell Mrs. Hoagland's floor wax in there, and her lilacs were in bloom, and you could hear her piano student there in the living room playing that Chopin etude, da da dee, la 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 la. Though he played it sort of like a march, like it was like a fight song, like we were going to go and beat the Avon Bards in baseball, which we know we're not going to do. Instead of being a song about lost love, which is what it is about. The Lake Wobegon Whippets out on the field at Wally Old Hard Hands Bunsen Memorial Park and taking a little batting practice, tossing the ball around. If you saw the Whippets walking down the street on the corner, you wouldn't think baseball wouldn't be the first thing you'd think. Whose funeral are they going to, you would think? Very nice the inmates get to go out on parole. And even if you saw them warming up on the field, you wouldn't think baseball. You might. You'd think, those guys used to play baseball, you would think. But who knows? Hope springs eternal, at least in the spring it does. Bud was in the water trying to put in a new dock. Very, very cold. He put on his hip waders, and he was taking the other end of the dock out into the water, and his best friend Bob was holding the end on shore. And he was walking out in his water almost up to his thighs, and an enormous fish swam between his legs. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it really shocked him, and he slipped and he fell, and water filled up his hip boot waders, and he called out to Bob, and Bob, his best friend, stood there holding the other end of the dock, and Bud dropped his, and Bob said, "Are you all right?" Which is the dumbest thing you can say to somebody who's lying in the water, struggling, trying to get up. And then he went to get a pole and a branch, and of course, Bud by now was half frozen, and he couldn't grab hold of it. And then he went in to call 911. What? Why? And here was his friend struggling in the water. His next-door neighbor, Roy, who Bud has had run-ins with over and over for years, came out, and he walked into the water and grabbed hold of him, and he hauled him out, and he took him up to the house, and he stripped his clothes off, and he put him into bed. So Bud is up there recuperating and thinking about this. When you almost die at the hands of your best friend, and it's your lifelong enemy who saves your life, maybe when you're selecting friends, competence ought to be a factor. Maybe you just ought to think about that a little bit. It was a big Easter at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church. Pastor Liz preached two sermons. Her sermon had been lost on her computer, and she just did it from memory out of the Gospel of Mark. It was a big day. It just wore her down. She had to do the sunrise service, and she had to do the big 11 o'clock service, and there were all those choirs, and there was the handbell choir, and there was the brass choir, trombones and tuba, no trumpets, thank goodness, and just so much to do. And then she had to watch over Mark, who was the lector. He was the reader he had been the reader for Good Friday service, and he came back, and what do you say? He wanted to do it. And he's sort of an actor, Mark is, and he really gets into it. And so she has to kind of tamp him down a little bit. The Good Friday service, when he read Christ's cry from the cross, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He got into it in a big way. And it really shocked some people. It was like an audition for something. And then he did the text on Easter morning from 1 Corinthians, which is kind of a monologue by St. Paul. And you can just read it, or you can sort of, you know, you can make it into Richard III. You can make it into Willie Loman. And that's what he did. And when he did the gospel from Mark, and he did the angel saying, "Be not alarmed." Some people never quite recovered from that. So she had to watch over him. She had to keep track of that. And then all of those people shaking their hands, people whose names you should remember, and you almost do. You remember their names a minute after they've passed through. And they can tell from your saying, "Hi, how are you?" that you've forgotten their names. She was exhausted. And she went home and she crawled into bed. And when she woke up, it was 7 o'clock at night. It was almost getting dark. Sun was going down. And then she remembered she had a dinner date in St. Cloud, and she had to jump in her car, and she had to drive into St. Cloud to meet this man whom she'd been set up with for dinner by Clint Bunsen, some nephew of his who he was sure Pastor Liz was going to like. She sat down with this man in the restaurant, and she knew before the hors d'oeuvres had arrived that this was going to be a very long hour. This man was in his mid-50s, bless his heart. He had lived alone for many years. He didn't get out much. He was devoted to his dogs. And he'd been told that she was a pastor. And so the gray pall of piety lay heavily on him. And he had to tell her about his faith journey, which in his case seemed to have been very easy, very smooth, and didn't take him long to tell. And then he asked her a lot of questions, apropos of nothing, about Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And the salads arrived. And it took a long time for the entree. She had two beers just to sort of cushion the agony. He said, "Let's do this again." She shuddered at the thought. She got in her car to drive home, and she just had left St. Cloud, and she was headed up the state highway towards Lake Wobegon, and she was reaching under her seat to get a CD that had fallen down there. And she wanted to listen to it, and she had to take her glasses off to look at it to see which side she should put into the CD player. And she kind of swerved over the middle line into the other lane. She pulled it back, and then the blue flashing lights came on right behind her, and he pulled her over. He was a highway patrolman. She remembered now that she had left her billfold somewhere. She hadn't paid for dinner, so maybe it was still at home. She didn't have her insurance card or her driver's license. He walked up to the window. He said, "Hi, how are you doing? Just want to make sure you're okay. Saw you swerve back there." "Oh," she said, "yeah." She said, "I took my eyes off the road and I was reaching down for something." "Oh, yeah." He said, "I just wanted to make sure that alcohol is not involved." "No, no, 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 no," she said. "I'm fine. I'm fine." He said, "You having a good Easter?" "Yeah," she said, "yeah." She said, "I had to work this morning. I'm a Lutheran pastor." "Oh," he said, "you sure don't look like a Lutheran pastor." "Well, thank you," she said. "I'm trying not to." "Oh," he said, "I grew up Lutheran. Yeah, my parents were Lutheran. My grandparents were Lutheran. Oh, yeah, she said. Yeah, yeah. He said, then I met Sasha. I fell in love with Sasha, and she's Baha'i. So I sort of became Baha'i. Oh, she said. Well, she said, you sure don't look Baha'i. Well, he said, around here it's a good idea not to, so I don't. Yeah. He said, you ever meet any Baha'i? Here he was, a man who had the power to take her into custody and lock her up, asking for some positive reinforcement of his faith journey. Well, yes, she said, I've known some. Back in college, they were very kind people, very kind, forgiving people. Well, he said, you seem nice too. He said, I get the feeling that you don't have your driver's license on. You're right, she said, I don't. Well, he said, yeah, I believe you, he said. You drive carefully now, okay? Next time, bring your license. Okay. God bless you, she said. And off she went. It was quite a thing to be forgiven for your sin on Easter, forgiven by a Baha'i. She thought about maybe using this in a sermon and then decided not to. Got back to Lake Wobegon. She could smell the forsythia. Grass was green. Beautiful world, a form of forgiveness in itself. Beautiful world, thank you for this beautiful world, and forgive us if we do not love it enough. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, all the children are beloved.